Good morning, New Life family. So glad to have you guys with us this morning. Welcome anybody online, and if you were out on the patio inside with us today.
Yeah, we are just so glad you are here. My name's Joanna, and this is Devin. And what a beautiful day. And if this is your first time with us, we are just so glad that you're here. And we invite you to come to one of our connection counters. We have two inside, one outside. And we would love to just meet you. We have a gift for you and just share that you belong here.
And just wanted to let you guys all know that we have pizza with the pastor today after second service.
Yes, and that is for anybody that is new, checking us out. Maybe you haven't been to Pizza with the Pastor before. It is a great time to know who we are as a church and, again, how you can be part. And it is about at 12:30. So I just invite you, you could go to coffee after this service. You could go run some errands. If I were you, I'd go to the ocean and put my toes in the water and then come back and join us for pizza.
And as you look at the bulletin today, in a few weeks, you can see that New Life is turning 75. And so we have a few steps on there today.
Can you believe that?
We have a few steps on there today to show us how you can get involved with that.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of things happening leading up to that. And so we have an opportunity. If you notice, there's a huge 75 in the lobby, and it's going to become a photo wall. And Devin, how long have you been at New Life?
I've been going to New Life about 2 years now.
And 2022. Wow, so I've been going a little bit longer. So since we have an opportunity, you will see it in the bulletin, but I thought it'd be really fun that we just do it right now. So hold on. Okay. So Devin, will you take my picture? So we have these boards all over campus. You can take a selfie. You can do it with a group of people, but okay, do my cute side. Okay, and now what do you do?
And now you follow the steps, and you can scan the QR code that's on the bulletin, and you can send that photo there.
Okay, so that, because you know I want to be first, can you send mine in? And then while you do that, if everybody else could just stand up, meet somebody, and just ask what year did you start coming to New Life? It could be 1965, 2024. We're so glad you're here.
Yes. As I'm there, I'm remembering.
Thank you.
just focus on that grace. I just want to invite you to have a seat right now as we think about that amazing grace. As we think about that amazing grace, we also remember, Lord, that we live in a world that is broken and that it's hurting. So I want to invite Pastor Phil up as we just think about so much that happens from Sunday to Sunday, every single week. Just think about that. Everything, every single week that we worship on a Sunday, the next Sunday when we come in, whether it's in our own lives, in our family's lives, in the life of our friends or our community or in our world, there are so many things that happen. And this past week, we just want to take some time to recognize that there was a tragedy, and yet again in America, with a school shooting in Georgia. And as we were thinking about that as a pastoral staff, we were thinking, and how can we reconcile what we feel on the Monday to Saturday when we come into church on Sundays and we sing these songs, we're not exactly quite sure how we feel. The other thing we're going to pray into, we're going to pray for the reality of we're the church, and we need to pray against fear when there is fear that comes into our lives, right? And so we're going to let Pastor Phil pray into that. But the other thing that popped into my mind is the wars that have been going on between Gaza and Israel and Ukraine and Russia. I remember when the Russia-Ukraine war just had recently gotten started, and as a congregation, we took time to pray against that reality, right? And how many times since have we continued to just pray for that corporately? I'm sure some of us have been doing that individually, but these things cause aches in our hearts. They cause aches in our spirits. And when all we see week in and week out are the same headlines, more people killed, more people suffering, more injustice happening all over, I'm just thinking, I can't be the only one doing this alone. The other pastors on our staff, the other friends that we're talking to are thinking, we can't be praying for this stuff alone. And so as the church, and Pastor Gina's going to preach to this idea a little bit more a little later on in service, but as the church, this is one of the things we get to do, and this is one of the things we can do. We get to pull heaven down. We get to call on the name of the Lord, and we get to intercede and pray together. So can we just take some time in worship? Prayer is worship too. Amen? Amen? Can we just take some time in this time of worship to pray together for these things that we're feeling, these things that are going on in our world?
So I'm going to invite you to use your chair as an altar if you can. I'm going to sit down as well. If you want to come to the front, use the prayer altars as well. You can do that, but utilize the people around you too, because we want to lift up our voice to the one that actually do something about the injustice, the evil that's happening in our world. He is a righteous judge. He is a holy God. And so we go before him. Amen. And so let's go before him right now and lift up all these things that's happening in our nation, but also just in the world in general. And don't just spectate right now. Don't just look and be like, okay, when's this time going to be over so we can get back to the songs? But actually engage your Heavenly Father right now. Go to him through the person of Jesus in the power of the Spirit. And so let's go before God in prayer right now. So Father, we just lift you up. We thank you that your name's above all names. Like the song, like we just sang, Lord, we thank you that you reign above it all. We thank you, God, that you reign above evil, that you reign above injustice, Lord. We just come before you and ask, Lord, that you would send your peace to the families that are experiencing grief right now. Lord, I pray that you would take the spirit of heaviness in exchange, Lord. I pray that when you would give us the garment of praise, that we would put on the garment of praise, Lord, that when we walk through the valley of this shadow of death that we are in, God, I pray that fear would not cripple us. God, I pray your word, how it says, you have not given us a spirit of fear. I know that's what Paul told Timothy. And so, God, we use those statements right now as prayer right now, Lord. Thank you for your word and how we can pray your word. And thank you that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And so, God, I pray that we would use this sound mind right now to come before you, to bring our requests to you, and ask you to have mercy. Lord, that's our prayer. Have mercy right now over our nation, Lord. Have mercy on California, Lord. Have mercy on the young people. God, have mercy on those who can't control their thoughts and control their urges, Lord. Have mercy. and we pray for anyone and everyone that is fearful to go to school, Lord, fearful to go to the grocery store, fearful to go outside. God, we just pray against that right now in Jesus' name. We ask that you would set your people free, that there will be a spirit of freedom, a spirit of liberty, God. And that you would raise up sons and daughters, those who are called to be ambassadors for you, Lord, to proclaim this message that you told us in 2 Corinthians 5, that our message is come back to God, that you are trying to reconcile the world back to yourself through your son, Jesus. And so, God, I pray for mercy. Lord, as people mourn and are grieving right now, God, I pray that your nearness would be what they rely on, God. Your strength with what they would rely on, God. And that us, their brothers and sisters, God, would know how to come alongside them and weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And so, Lord, we just give you our struggles. We give you our anxiety. We give you our fear. And we just say right now, we declare that fear go, Holy Spirit come. And so, God, we give you the rest of this time. We give you the rest of this service, Lord. The earth is yours. The earth is yours. The earth is your footstool, actually. And so, God, we just come under your authority, remembering that you are still in control. Sometimes, Lord, we want to pray like King David prayed, and pray these emotions, these feelings that we have of, like, end our enemies and all these things. But Lord, we know that your example was that you came and died for your enemy. You died for those who were doing wrong. You died for those who were doing evil. And so, Lord, I pray that believers would have that same attitude that you did, Jesus. That we don't say kill our enemies, but we say pray for our enemies. We would give up our life for our enemies because that's what you did, Jesus. That we need strength because we cannot do that on our own. We do not want to do that, actually. And so, Lord, help us. Strengthen your church. Strengthen your believers. Strengthen your bride of Christ in America, in the world. I pray for unity right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And so as we sing this next song, I invite you to stand where you are. Singing Amazing Grace. Lord, I think about all the ways in which we have fallen short of the standard of Christ. God, you've called us to be a people of love and a people of peace. And God, if it weren't for your grace, I'm not sure where I would be. I'm sure that's the story for many individuals in this room. If it were not for your grace, where would we be? But God, you've invited us in to this reality where we get to praise you with our brothers and sisters, to exalt you and to put you on the throne where you belong. And so God, this morning we repent collectively in all the ways that we have fallen short of that grace. But God, we celebrate the way we get to sing of that grace now and how it's radically transformed our lives. So Jesus, we praise you in this time. And everyone said, amen.
See you.
To gather together in community this morning, to worship you, to honor you, to praise you, God. And I just pray that this morning, as we are together as the family of God, and as we get to hear your words and think about those things this morning, God, that you will open our hearts to be ready to receive the message, that you will open our eyes as we leave this building today and still be the church outside of this building. I pray that you will help us to look for ways just to be Jesus to other people, God, and to be your light in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can take a seat as we continue in our time of worship this morning. I am going to invite our ushers forward to receive the offering. If you are part of New Life, we have so many of you that are giving. If you are visiting, please don't feel obligated to give, but you are always welcome to. And if you have always wanted to give and just haven't figured out how to make that work with your budget, and just it's expensive to just exist and live, that is something that's really hard. And we have a class coming up, Financial Peace University, that will be starting soon. And that is one of the things that they talk about, is knowing where your money goes. Sometimes it just feels like it, you barely have it for like a hot second and then it's gone. So Financial Peace University helps you get a handle on that and be able to make long-term goals and plans and have generosity be a part of your life. So if you are available and interested in that, we welcome you to Financial Peace University. And they can also help you as you're making those long-term goals and plans. If you have not partnered with us yet as part of Flourish, that's something that you can figure out there as well. So you might have noticed it's insanely hot outside. Relative, I'm from Texas. I understand my Texas friends, this is not hot. Relatively, it's hot here right now. But you might notice inside this building is actually pretty good. I'm like cold. I kind of need a jacket in here. So that is part of Flourish, is there's two things we're working on. One is deferred maintenance, and that's just being good stewards and taking care of the facilities that we have. So the new HVAC in this building is complete, and our new roof is complete. Actually, I think the HVAC is almost complete, but you can see we're doing pretty well. So we're doing great. And in addition to deferred maintenance, we have a lot of ministry that happens on this campus. And so part of Flourish is also making our spaces open for ministry expansion. We have lots of things happening, lots of places where people need to be, they need to be usable. And so that is another part of Flourish. So if you have not partnered with us yet, you are welcome to do that and be able to continue celebrating with us as these things move along. So if you are new-ish, or new, if this is your first time, great. If you are new-ish, we want you to come a few times because there's a few things that we want you to do. One of those things is to get to know who we are as a church. One of those things is to meet somebody. And one of those things is to ask God how he is moving on our campus and as part of our church and in our community. So we have some opportunities for you to do all three of those things this month. It's a great month to be at New Life. One of those things is coming to Pizza with the Pastor. I know it's been mentioned, but if you're new, you should totally come and learn more about us. Another thing is if you have a fall fully alive guide, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, go to a Connection Central after the service and we'll get you one. But it's just a little foldable pamphlet that has information for you of all the things that are kicking off, all the things you can get involved in, and we're happy to answer questions on that. We also have next Sunday our Fully Alive crew rally. So if you are already part of a crew, meaning that you volunteer in some way at New Life, we want you to come, hang out with us, share our vision and alignment for where we're headed with the fall. If you maybe don't have a spot yet, but you're interested in finding out where your gifts can benefit the kingdom here at New Life, come to the crew rally with us next weekend, hear about all the things going on, and see where God leads you. And then for our ladies in the room, tonight we have our women's gathering. So we welcome all of you to come and hang out with us tonight. We are going to be having a birthday party theme because, as we mentioned, New Life has birthday this month. We are turning 75. So come live out your childhood birthday dreams with us tonight, and we'll have great food and a message on belonging. That is the series that we have been in on Sunday mornings, talking about belonging, and we are going to continue that series this morning. So please prepare your hearts for our message on belonging.
Well, good morning. Y'all doing good? how are you doing this morning? Everyone good? I have to admit, it is kind of nice. I love the heat, so I think the hotter the better. Until I actually was in 106, 110 degree weather, I was like, maybe I'm getting too old for like the triple digit type thing. Like, that's hot. So, but this has been kind of nice to have some warm weather and enjoy the Central Coast because we live in a beautiful place, don't we? All right, well, this morning, to get to it, we are going to continue in our series. We've been in a series for the last couple weeks entitled No Longer Strangers. And the focus has really been on what it means to belong. And so if you haven't been with us, we've been trying to kind of talk about different ways in which we feel like we belong. And one of the things that we've talked about and that we've come drawn the conclusion to, that for the majority of us, if not all of us, we feel like we belong when we are feel safe, when we feel seen, and when we know we are loved. We know we belong when we feel safe, when we are seen, and when we are loved. Those are usually the basics that we need in order to be able to go back to a group, feel like we are attached, and also to feel like we can be ourselves, like literally authentic. But this morning, even though we're talking about belonging, I kind of want to look at the word becoming. Because this morning, we're going to look at what it means to belong to the church, or actually look at a passage that talks more about how do we become the church. Because this morning, if you're here and you proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are the church. We are brothers and sisters of the Most High God, and we make up the church. But if you're here this morning and you didn't know that, and you don't know what you're signing up for, well, one, welcome. Two, it's awesome. Because when you get to a place where you call Jesus Lord, you realize that you're taking on a whole new identity. You have a whole new purpose. And you're the son and daughter of the Most High God. And then everyone around you, it's not just about you and God, but everyone around you who also proclaims him as Lord is your brother and sister. So you inherit an entire giant dysfunctional family. And it is pretty amazing. So this morning, if you brought your Bibles, will you open them up to, we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew. If you don't have a Bible, and we've been talking about this off and on over the last couple months, and you would like a Bible, you would like to own a Bible, we have them in the back. If you find an usher or go out these doors and go to the right, you will be able to ask for a Bible, and it's not one just to borrow. We want you to take it home, use it, read it, study it, mark it up, okay? If you're here and you're using your phone, please do not be shy. We're not judging you for pulling out your phone. You might want to turn off whether or not you can get text messages, but to focus on your phone, but we are in the Gospel of Matthew, which is the very first book of the New Testament, which is the second half of the Bible. We're going to be in chapter 16, and we're going to start at verses 13 and read all the way to 20. So if you're able and willing, would you stand with me as we read the Word of God? So in verse 13, it reads like this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say the Son of Man is?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Then he sternly warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for an opportunity not just to worship, but to also gather, to pray for our world, for our country, for families, and to be the people that you've called us to be. And that is that we are a people called to care about those who are mourning, who are hurting, who have lost loved ones, who have fear. We're here, Lord, to testify that you are the Almighty Father who through Jesus Christ, we have salvation. And so this morning, Lord, open our ears. Allow our eyes to see you in a way that we haven't seen you, way we hear your word in a way we haven't heard it before, in order that we become more and more like your son, Jesus. So this morning, Lord, we give you this time. May you remove me even, and may your spirit just push through me, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we only hear you. This is not about me. This is about you. So we're here this morning for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So just to make sure that we're kind of all on the same page, I know not everyone comes to church having read Matthew or the Gospel of Matthew, or maybe you don't realize why what happened up to chapter 16. And so what we find is, and what probably the most important, is that up to chapter 16 and all through the gospel, we realize that Jesus is becoming more and more and more popular. More and more people are hearing of what he has done. He has done miracles. He is teaching. People have been healed. And people are wanting to find him and see him perform a miracle or maybe be healed themselves. He's preaching a message that is completely different than what the Pharisees and the rulers of the world of that time have literally taught. He's teaching love and patience. He's teaching warnings against Pharisees who are speaking and about themselves more than they are about the Father. But he's also been rejected. He's been to his hometown, in which no one believes that he is the Son of God. No one wants to hear what he has to say. And I think about this for a moment because we live in a world in which fame is something that people chase on a regular basis. Popularity is something that people want. They want everyone to know who they are and what they're doing. And people use social media so they can put themselves out there all the time. But popularity comes with a really dark side. A really dark side. I talk to people who are influencers, and they literally tell me that they cannot differentiate their real life from their online life. They can't find space away from those who want more content and more things for them to post and to know more about them. And I think about in Jesus, he didn't have social media. He's just walking around doing the will of God, his Father, sharing the good news, preaching, teaching, healing, bringing hope. And there are literally people there who are like, I want nothing to do with you. I want you to go away. There is no way you are of importance. And I don't, even if I can see you do a miracle, I still don't believe. See, I don't know what it is about popularity, but there are those people who literally just want to shut it down. Who want to find the negative, the false, something bad about you. And it's interesting because the same thing's happening to Jesus. They're trying to trip him up. They're trying to take him down. Whether that's jealousy or fear or just wickedness, it has its difficulties. And so as we go through this time and you get to chapter 16, in verse 13, it says that when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that the Son of Man is?" Now, Caesarea Philippi is actually an important place in this story. And it's important for us to understand, and I know, and I'm just as guilty, sometimes I'll read about a town or someone begat someone and begat another someone, and it's like, I'm skipping this part, I don't know what's happening. Like, but honestly, the location right now is important. Caesarea Philippi is way north of the Sea of Galilee, about 25 miles north. And so they're walking up there into this place in which the only thing that's happening there is worshiping pagan gods, man-made gods. There's an entire temple that has been resurrected and built there. It's giant, and it's just all about Caesar, created for him. And they literally worship these gods, and so Jesus takes them up to a place in which they have no interest probably in what it is he's talking about. And there's some theologians who say he went there because that way he just won't be bothered because they could care less about what he's talking about. They have their little gods. They have their man-made things. But I think about 25 miles from the Sea of Galilee. It's not like they just went down to the village. Like they're trucking. They're like getting way out there. Way far away from everybody. So the crowds can't follow them. And he gets there and he says to them, "Who do they say the Son of Man is?" What are you hearing? It's kind of like sitting down and they're probably all sitting on the rocks and literally all 12 disciples. And he's kind of just leans over and he's like, "So what's everybody saying about me?" And it's not like he doesn't know. He knows what's being said. But he says, "Who do they say the Son of Man is?" Which he calls himself the Son of Man. And I know for some people that can be confusing because we're like, well, we call him the Son of God. And then Jesus is calling himself the Son of Man. He's both. Jesus is fully man and fully God. And whether you stay here at New Life or you ever go to another church and they preach one or the other, that is not okay. Jesus is fully God and fully man. And when he wants to know, what are people saying? And so the disciples probably think, well, This isn't such a difficult question. I mean, I think we've all kind of heard, right? The reply in verse 14, it says, well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. See, they name off what the people are saying about him, which is that you're basically just another prophet. Or when it comes to John the Baptist, some people feel like his spirit entered Jesus, and so he's just John the Baptist. They believe that Elijah would come back, so maybe he was coming back into him. But no matter what, they just believe he's a prophet. They believe that he's probably a good messenger. He's fighting injustice. He's speaking against wickedness. Because, you know, they were looking for someone to come and take over the current rule, and they wanted a new king that would just justify them and fix everything and put it in place. But the truth is, they're missing the point. He's not just a prophet. Think about today and the people you talk to. People who say, oh, he was a pretty good teacher, I guess. Or, I don't know if he was really real, but he was kind of a cool made-up dude. Like, and today this applies. People miss who Jesus truly is. So he says, okay, that's the popular opinion. Some people say, I'm one of those people. But then he says to them, then he asks them, but who do you say I am? Disciples, brothers and sisters, church, who do you say Jesus is? There's a popular opinion out there. Are we going with the popular opinion? Do we know who he is? Can we define him in our own lives? It's important to know whether or not we know who Jesus is. And Jesus takes this moment to say, but who do you say I am? That's what they say. Who do you say? And I think we have to ask ourselves this on a regular basis. We have to check in with ourselves and one another. Who are we saying that Jesus is? So they answer. And here's an interesting part. Simon Peter, he answered in verse 16, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, if you know anything about Simon, Matthew refers to him as Simon Peter. He seems to be a person who we know exactly how he feels about things. He seems very reactive. Like, he's the first one to speak, so it kind of doesn't surprise me. But if you know anything about Peter, it seems like he speaks before he thinks. He has some pretty strong emotions. He is very reactive, but he is the one who answers amongst all of the disciples. And he says, you are this Messiah, the Son of the living God. The living God. Not just the Son of God, the living God. See, they're in Caesarea Philippi. That's why this is important. Because they're sitting on land. They're sitting in an area with huge gates and a temple and these little gods that are not real gods. And they're all dead. And they worship. He says, Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. Today, God is live and well. And he is active and he is mighty. He is not someone who just walked before us and then done like the rest of us. He is a living God. And I think to myself, Simon Peter, the one who blurts a lot of things, the one who has a lot of reactions to a lot of stuff, and he hits the nail on the head. You are the Son of the living God. But church, this is what I want us to really, really hear. This is probably the core of what it means to become the church. He says in verse 17, Jesus replies to Simon Peter, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Let me read that again. He said, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, which is his given name. His name is Simon. Because My Father in heaven has revealed this to you. Do we understand what it means to be revealed to him? What he's saying is you didn't learn this from any human being. There isn't a single person on earth who literally could tell you this. This had to come from the Father through the Spirit. It was revealed to you, which is that word when you look in the original translation is apocalypto, which is where we get our word apocalypse, which means to remove the veil, which means to reveal to someone. It's kind of like getting a gift and you pull off all the paper and then there's the prizes inside. Simon Peter received a gift from the Father. And in this moment, at this time, he understands that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Now, I will say this, and as you study this, you realize that a lot of theologians are like, he understands this. Jesus is the Son of the living God, but he does not understand what is to come. He does not understand fully what it means. Just like the rest of us, when God reveals himself to us the first time. We kind of have an idea. Most of us are just going for being saved, so that way we're not going to hell. But then we realize there's a lot more to it after that. But church, how many of you want to know or can recall that Jesus is revealed to you? I think this is what it means to become the church. Becoming the church is to have Jesus revealed in us. Because it completely changes us. Once you realize that Jesus is the Son of the living God, everything changes. And I'm hoping that you came here this morning because you want more and more and more of him to be revealed to you so you become more and more like Jesus. I think this is important for us to remind ourselves. A lot of times we get hung up on you need to be saved, and we do. We want every person to call him Lord. But that should not be the only time that you can testify that Jesus is revealed to you. We should be a people that are chasing to see more and more of him, to see more and more of what God's doing and how he's moving and what his will is in our lives. I was telling Joanna, and I don't know why I hadn't thought about this before, but 30 years ago, it'll be 31 next month. I've actually been a Christian for 30 years. I'm like, dang, I'm old. Like, that's crazy. But 30 years. And I think I've told the story a little bit over time. But, you know, when I accepted Christ, it literally was because I didn't want to go to hell. I was like looking for a fire ticket that said you can pass one by. I didn't want that. And then 30 years ago, accepting the Lord, it had nothing to do with me actually following him or me becoming a pastor or me becoming a therapist or me actually being a sane person, to be honest with you. Like, that wasn't my goal. But then you start surrounding yourself with people who actually are looking for more and more of Jesus. You start running into people who are asking you, when was the last time you read the word? How come you're not singing the songs when we're in worship? Hey, why don't you take a risk and spend some time sitting still and praying? And people start coming around us. And I know many of you can testify to what it's like to be challenged and to see your faith grow and to see your faith be stretched. Where you wonder if you really understand if he's seeing you or not. And then you get through that trial and you realize Jesus just revealed himself one more time. Our Father, one more time, is moved. And I can testify to tons of times in which I've seen Jesus move. Where I see the Holy Spirit filling people's lives and they're being completely transformed. When we come to church, when we come to gather, we are the church, which we're going to get into in this next verse. But we are here, hopefully we are here, to say, Jesus, reveal yourself to me. Show me more and more of who you are. May your spirit fill me. less of me and more of you. Less of me. So Simon Peter, he just says, this only can come from the Father. And then he goes on, and he says this in verse 18. Now I say to you that you are Peter. He changes his name to Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all of the powers of hell will not conquer it.
Amen.
It's incredible. Absolutely. Amen. Because of Peter, do we realize Peter is the first believer, the first one to declare that Jesus is the Son of the living God. He is the Messiah. He is the first one. God reveals himself to him, and then Jesus says, your name is Peter, which means rock, and I will build my church. Now, there's some different ways of looking at this verse. Some people think that the church is now built on Peter's name and on Peter. But I want us to emphasize that it says my church. Peter actually means Petra or Petros. Petros means rock, but it's kind of like a tiny rock. But when he says, I will build my church on the rock, that word is actually Petra. And that's a massive rock. That is the foundation, which is Jesus, in which the church, which is his, will be built. And so he's teaching us right here, right now, that if you're here and you declare Jesus as Lord, then he is literally, you are the church. He says, I am building my church. And we're, whose church is it? His. I'm building my church on this rock. And the gates of hell will not conquer it. The powers of hell will not conquer it. He already declares that there's nothing greater than that moment. Now, this is also the first time that Jesus uses the word church. The very first time. And I think it's really important, especially if you're here and you're just checking out church for the first time. He does not mean I will build a building right here on this rock. He does not mean I will build a giant temple on a really large stone. The word church actually means community. I will build my community of followers on this declaration. That Jesus is the Son of a living God. We are here this morning and we worship the Son of the living God. We are here, and guess what? If you call him Lord, you are the church.
Amen.
We have a tendency to think that, oh, I go to New Life Church, or I go to Harvest Church, or I go to Grace Church, or one of 1 million churches. Like, we all say that we go to a church, and I think sometimes what we need to be saying is, we are the church. And I gather with fellow believers, and I gather with the church to worship him. And I can do that here, or I can do that out on another one. But wherever we gather, we can worship.
Amen.
Wherever we gather. I love this church. Don't get me wrong. I love it that it's air conditioned. It's even better. But we are literally the church. If this building comes crumbling down, we are still the church. We are still called to gather and to be a community. And we still stand on the truth, not just any old belief, but the truth that there is nothing greater than the power of God. And think about it. The disciples are hearing this as they sit in a land full of dead pagan idols, gods that do not provide life. There is no true God there. And so he's saying, as you build this big temple to Caesar, or as you have these cities that literally have these giant gates, because behind those gates, that's where we strategize and we decide how we're going to go to war and we're going to make decisions. And God's like, it doesn't matter about your gate. There's nothing greater than me. Nothing greater. And the power of whatever's behind your manly gates, your little worldly gates, is not going to take me down. And that's why we prayed this morning about the destruction and the wickedness that happens and that we are exposed to constantly in this world. Because as the church, we are called to declare that Jesus is Lord. And even though everything seems out of control, and everything seems like it's going to war, and it's full of wickedness, we cannot believe the lie that it's taken us over, because the Jesus is already won. Already won. And so I love this, because now we know that all we have to do is declare that Jesus is Lord. If you're here and you don't know him, if you're here and you're like, I was wondering what this is all about, or what group I'm joining, how do I get belonging into here? You know what? This is how you become the church, and this is how you belong. You declare Jesus as Lord and let him do the rest. Your brothers and sisters will come around you and start getting to know you, and then we will connect you, and we will help you grow, just like we are all growing, because no one here has arrived. No one. We are all in process. And so Jesus establishes his community. Very first time he says church, a community of a bunch of sinners who are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Sometimes I feel like, man, how come I don't read that every day? Like, why don't I read this passage every day? I know there's a giant book in here, but it's like, this to me is so inspiring, because it is defining our identity. Not just us as individuals, but us as a body. Us as every believer in the entire world. That we are part of the kingdom of God. And we are here to do what he has called us to do. In verse 19, he says, and I will give you, and he's talking to all the disciples, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. He's saying to Peter and to the disciples, it's not just Peter that he gave the keys. I know there's like comics that are done and drawings that are done, and there's the pearly gates, and then there's Peter, and he's got the keys and a tablet, and he's like, I don't know if we're letting you in, and that's not how this works. That's not how it works. I know some people think that that's what's happened, is that he is now in charge of the gate, and he's going to be like, you're in and you're out. The only one who determines if you're in or you're out is Jesus. The only one. But what he was saying was, I'm giving you these keys. Not just you, Peter, but to the disciples. You all who now know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, you now have keys to the kingdom. But it's not for you to hoard. They're not for you to put in your pocket and be like, sweet, I won. No, it is for you to then hand that key to someone else. It is for you to go to someone else and say, do you know who Jesus is? Or the question, who do you say Jesus is? Amen. When was the last time you asked yourself? When was the last time you sat with someone and said, hey, who do you think Jesus is? When was the last time you looked at a really good friend or someone that was lost and said, hey, you ever heard of Jesus? Like, what would you say about him? And whatever their answer is, you know the truth. He is the Son of the Most High God. He is alive and he is well. And it is our responsibility, church, to be sharing the gospel, the good news, the hope. The reason that we are the church is because we are supposed to be rippling out until he comes back. The goal is for everyone to call him Lord. Everyone. And I know we get scared. It's not by accident that Pastor Phil came up here and prayed against anxiety and fear and all the wickedness of this earth, because as pastors, we were sitting around going, we see it. We're listening to people in our offices and in conversations being fearful of all the things that are going on. And with right mind, in some ways, we should have a little bit of fear about the things that are going on. God created anxiety in us to some degree. The thing is, we're not supposed to live there. We're supposed to feel it, we're supposed to know it, and then we're supposed to surrender it to him and say, you're the only one who can free this world of the wickedness and the evil that is here. You are the only one that can overcome. And so when he says, whatever you permit, whatever you allow, and whatever you forbid, not only on earth, but even done in heaven, I want to remind us that it's not based on your judgment or my judgment of what that is. Sometimes I think we make up our own rules as we go along because we're uncomfortable, so therefore we're going to tweak it a little bit so I feel better. The truth of God is the truth of God. The truth of the word is the truth of the word. Watering it down doesn't do you any good, and it definitely doesn't do anybody else any good. But the church has a way of operating. We being the church means we take on responsibility, identity, and we have a purpose that we didn't have before. And that is to not only worship him and live him, but to love your neighbor as yourself, right? To share the good news. To be the church, if someone asked you, well, what does it mean if you're the church? Like, what do you do different than no one else does? I'll tell you one thing, we gather. We don't stay at home all the time by ourselves and then just try to keep it to ourselves. We're called to gather. To everyone online, I know you're there. I'm not forgetting about you. You are called to gather also. And I know people are at home and in different places for different reasons, and thank goodness for technology. But if your pajamas are more important than God, we've got a problem. I'm talking to myself because I like my PJs. So, but isn't that true? I love you people at home, I promise. I'm just saying, I use online. When I travel, I use online. I can't get here because I'm out of town. It has its purposes. But man, sometimes I think we come up with it, and I'm just as guilty. I'm so introverted. I use any excuse. I talk to myself 500 times before I go to an event how I can get out of it. Like, because I don't want to gather. I'm not real good at it. I like shake myself out of my shoes and then I'm like, are we done yet? We just got here. It's like, who cares? Because that anxiety, I should be surrendering to the Lord, especially when it comes to coming here. Especially when it comes to going to a place to worship him. Especially when it means that I might run into someone who doesn't know him yet. Because I can't just leave it up to the other person. The other thing is, we're called to worship. We're called to gather. And honestly, we're supposed to be reading the word together. The Bible was shared amongst groups of people. They talked about it. They took it in. And that is what we are called to do. We are part of the Church of the Nazarene, and we have rules, and we have bylaws, and we have what we call the Articles of Faith. And they are the truths about who defines us and what we sign up for when we say that we are Nazarene. Which means we believe in God. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the sacraments. We believe in the things that God says and his truths. And we believe that we are called. And we believe, and this is one thing that sets us apart, we believe that we can be transformed by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We're not just saved. We are disciples. And we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so this morning, church, I want us to remember that we are looking for Jesus everywhere we go. Here's something a little bit more important. You might be Jesus to someone everywhere you go.
That's right.
You. Me. I know some of you are like, God can't use me. I don't know, that lie just gets in the water and we swallow it 100 times over. Simon Peter, people, he said he was building his church on Simon. Do you realize if you read the next chapter, he rebukes him and says, Satan, get away from me. And you're like, it's a roller coaster ride I can't get off of. I'm sure Simon's probably like, I'm now called Peter, I'm the best, you're gonna build my church, and now you're rebuking me and I can't do anything right. It's like, it's us. One minute we're like, yes, and the next minute we're like, here we go again. Like, that's how it was. So if you're here today and you're like, no, this isn't for me, I'm here to say in the name of Jesus, yes, he is. He is here for you. He is here for us. And so as we close, there's a couple things I want to say to you. If you're online, you're at home, and you've been thinking about coming, then come. If you're online and you're at home, and you're not even living in this community, then find a church near you. Find somewhere to go. You can watch us anytime. YouTube's available all the time. But you can find someone. Rub shoulders with other believers. Let someone know you. You are worth being seen. You are worth being loved. It is okay. It might not feel safe, but it will become safe. That's how we belong. If you're here, right here, on the patio or at New Life Church, come to the women's gathering. If you're one of those people who's like, I don't know anybody. I don't know how to get connected. Go to that. Go to Pizza with the Pastor and hear about who we are. You're not signing up for something. You're actually giving your life to something. You're giving it to Jesus. And then you have the beautiful opportunity of serving at New Life. But you are not giving your life to New Life. You are giving your life to Jesus. And so this morning, if you don't know him, will you please come right up here? There are people who will pray for you. I'll be up here. I usually drift, I have to admit. I say I'll be up here and then I'm outside. I'll be somewhere, but we'll pray with you. Philip's here. There's all kinds of people here. They'll pray with you if you want to know Jesus as Lord. But will you stand with me? May you go today declaring, reminding yourself that you are the church.
Amen.
That we stand on a solid foundation and the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the, he is the living God, and it is through him that we have relationship with the Father. And so this morning, may you go, may you connect, may you meet someone new, and may you meet Jesus today in a way that you've never met him before even, because he can do whatever he wants to do. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, blessings. Amen and amen.